When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24/7 home of the black and gold, SNR Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome back. I am Dale Lally. He is Matt Williamson. We are live from Steelers training camp here at St. Vincent College in Latrobe, and watching a little live run drill here.
It's been an active practice, man.
It really has been. And this was a little different here because we saw that this opened up with basically backups against backups here in this inside run drill. Maybe you're trying to show, okay, fellas.
Oh, I think that's exactly what's going on.
Yeah.
We saw a whole lot of...
Who wants it here?
While people were gone, we saw a whole lot of one-on-ones and the offense winning, which they should win more in that case.
Yeah.
There's no pass rush. We get all that. But the first week of camp, they weren't winning any of those.
Right.
You know, so times have changed a little bit. And now it looks like these are all, I guess to put it mildly, the bottom of the roster guys out there on both sides of the ball running live action here. I mean, they're tackling.
Yeah.
This is full-blown scrimmage, you know. And
yeah.
I don't think Teague is a factor. He's hard to bring down, though. I mean, he is a physical, big, strong dude. I wish he had more wiggle. But this is interesting to me.
Probably wishes he does, too.
Yeah, right. You know, but this is interesting to me. These are all the borderline dudes giving everything they got, playing 11-on-11.
Yeah, absolutely. So getting to see a little bit of live action here. Again, after these guys just played a game the other day. So
some of these guys did play some snaps,
yeah,
too.
Right. And we're seeing, I mean, it's essentially the second-team offensive line.
Rudolph's behind center.
Yeah.
I mean, some of the down-the-line receivers. And I assume it's run only.
It's run, yeah, pretty much run. They throw every once in a while to this just to keep the defense
honest. Yeah.
But this is a team run drill.
Yep.
That's what it is.
And there hasn't been a special teams period yet. You know, I guess Danny's getting the short end of the stick on that one, but his units performed quite well.
Yeah, he gets two per practice. So that's, you know, we're only an hour in.
Yeah, that's a good point.
The next segment will be a special teams segment. That even will be interesting here because,
right,
you know,
it's getting competitive now.
Okay, now we get the ones in there for the offense against, I guess the ones against the defense here other than Tuska out there. So this is ones versus ones.
I mean, Cam Hayward's out there.
Yeah.
right.
This is ones and ones. T.J. Watt
is
out there. That's just flipping it around, I guess. Let the twos go first. And the inside linebackers here are Miles Jack and Robert Spillane, so how about that?
Yeah, okay.
Chase Claypool in motion. A little handoff there. That is Najee Harris.
Najee Harris.
And I think they are live. They're not going to tackle Najee.
This isn't as live, right?
Not as. Not, it's live, but not quite that live.
Right. I mean, he had a nice stiff arm there, but the defender was not going 100%. But still, good to see him carry the ball.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I think this is live, but let's not get too – like, yeah. I don't think they're cutting Cam Hayward or, you know.
No.
I mean, I'm certain they're not.
Probably keep that 97 guy.
He's right.
Yeah, so we got – let's see.
Same. This is a big, heavy personnel.
This is a heavy run.
This is 13 heavy personnel. They got three tight ends on the field.
And this would be where you would use Robert Spillane.
Yeah. He's in my doghouse. I hate to say it. I just don't.
He's in mine, too. But
I just don't see a use anymore. And maybe that means finding somebody else out there. And I'm not talking like trade the world for Roquan Smith, but maybe find an NFL linebacker. But they've been down that road a lot, and it's not as easy to find as you'd think.
Is that or, you know, give like
Joe Schobert signed with Denver.
Okay,
today,
now
you know?
Now they got Bush back out there. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, they're again, they're, this is what they've done pretty consistently throughout this whole process is those two have rotated quite a bit.
Right, right.
Let's
see what Bush does on this
yeah.
one.
Yeah, let's isolate on Bush. He's yeah, out. Yeah. He's out there with Miles Jack.
Hard to say from our viewpoint. He attacked the line of scrimmage.
He
and
did.
It looked like he'd have been involved in the tackle, but then he had to pull up.
Yeah. Yeah, they're just better they're thudding shot from a little bit here now.
Mm-hmm. As the one should.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's going to be an interesting discussion here. I think this week's game will be much bigger in that whole
Bush linebacker conversation
yeah.
you're talking about? Okay.
Again, I find it hard to judge the guy based on playing behind backup. You're never going to see a situation in a regular season, for example. And if you do, it's going to be a disaster anyways, where you're going to have five backups in front of him in terms of the defensive line, the outside linebackers.
Right.
It's just not going to happen.
And I think Seattle's O-line will be one of the worst in the league, but that was still their ones. I mean,
right.
that's who, I mean, Charles Cross is the ninth pick in the draft. He's out, you know.
I
right,
mean, really, you know, you had Chris Wormley out there.
Mm-hmm. Mondu's your starting nose.
Yeah, Mondu was at the nose.
They didn't even have Adams. You know, I mean, like,
right.
I'm not sure Mondu's even a nose, you know,
yeah.
let
yeah.
alone your starting nose. And I thought Loudermilk played fine, and I thought Wormley was okay. You know, I mean, so.
But you're not going to have too many situations, especially on rundowns.
And those edge guys
were those,
weren't even
yeah.
the top three.
Right.
I mean, Avery didn't play either.
They're just not going to be out there that often
no.
together.
I hear you. But I've – excuses are the wrong word, but I'm out of – well, he should. If this were around him better, he'd be better. You know, like
right.
If,
yeah.
if you're starting a linebacker,
you
need to start elevating and you know beating blocks and all that. But we'll see. I'm more worried about Spillane, to be very honest with you.
Yeah.
I worry if Spillane is worthy of a roster spot, to be very honest.
But Jannard Avery is back today.
Yeah, that's good. We've had a lot of healthy guys here.
Yeah.
Today.
Could Jannard Avery be a guy? He has to stay healthy first of all.
Yeah.
But
I see where you're going with this as an inside guy.
Yeah.
Potentially. Potentially.
Yeah. I mean, you know, if this continues down this road, I wouldn't mind taking a look at him in there.
Yeah. Taking a look, I think, would be fine. I would maybe even give him some reps like we've so often seen with Spillane. Like while we were break, they lined up McFarland in the slot against Spillane. And he ran a go route from
Forget
the slot. And it was non-competitive.
As soon as the ball was snapped, that one was
That's
over.
A loss.
Yeah.
But I wonder how would have Avery fit. You know, I know Bush would have fared better, but
yeah.
I wonder how Avery would have fared. You know, that would be interesting to me.
I mean, a lot of linebackers are going to struggle with that. That's just
That's brutal.
Yeah.
I mean, I get that. But it wasn't competitive, you know, a second
no.
into the play.
No.
You know.
Yeah, so, you know, there's still a lot of stuff like that that has to be sorted out here. But that's why they do this stuff. And I'm not convinced that they're completely done with any moves that they might make this year.
Agreed.
You know, so there's a possibility that something else could be done there with that.
I would certainly have an eye open for any available offensive lineman, at least just to throw them in the mix. I'm pretty happy with the running backs, though. I think they're loaded.
Yeah, that's one thing is when we started training camp, I think we were all like, okay, they could use a veteran back.
Yeah, right.
But now I don't feel that way.
I don't want to let go of the guys you'd have to let go to make that happen.
Yeah.
And they're young and cheap there, and I want to see what they can do. They're loaded at tight end and receiver.
Yeah.
There's
right.
no room for anybody else there, so that's the end of the offense. Defensively, they're loaded at D-line. I've heard some people say, boy, they should be in the market for another corner.
I don't see that.
Every team in the league says they could use tackles and corners. I get that, you know, but I think they're fine at corner. I can live with Pierre and Millette, and I mean, I think they got guys there. They're deep at safety, so I think the secondary is in pretty good shape. I would consider an edge guy, and I would absolutely consider an off the ball linebacker.
Yeah, edge is one that I would definitely look at after watching that game the other night. I don't know. And again, we didn't see Jannard Avery in that one,
right?
And he can't fix everything.
And I don't know that it would have been dramatically better if he were
right,
out there.
Right,
I mean, right. And but Tushka and what's his face, the other dude that started, I didn't think were impressive. And I don't mind keeping one of the two, I don't want both of the two.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, I hear you. I hear you.
And I do.
You know, my big concern with Delonte Scott, who I believe you're talking about there, 50.
50.
Is would he hold up in the run game? And, well.
The answer was no.
The answer was no.
And he got washed out a lot.
Yeah. He looks like a basketball player. And, well, he played outside linebacker like a basketball player.
He did. And he's really lean from the shoulders down. You know, his lower body's thin, and he kind of played that way. You know, he did not hold the point at all. He did not force things outside, and even worse, he got washed down, which just created a hole, and that does make it tough on the Bushes of the world. And, you know, we're commending guys like Witherspoon for coming up and making big tackles. Well, he shouldn't have to, though. That should have got pushed to the inside as opposed to your 190-pound corner coming up and have to make that play.
Yeah, he is Matt Williamson. I am Dale Lally. You're listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio and ESPN 970. We are live at Steelers training camp. Steelers going through a little special teams action here today.
Mm-hmm.
And, Matt, were you surprised that they didn't use either of their quote-unquote starting specialist the other day?
It's funny you just asked that because I was about to ask you that. I was going to phrase it two ways. Was with these cuts coming tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
Do you think that the kicker and punter from yesterday, from Saturday, are amongst those cuts?
They could be.
Yeah.
But, you know, I
it's an easy one.
You still don't – I think you hold on to those guys till the end.
Do you want Boz swinging his leg that many times?
In the third week of the preseason?
Right.
You want him out there having – you know – You don't want Boswell or you don't want Harvin out there trying to tackle somebody in the third week of the preseason. Mm-hmm. Is my point.
Yeah, I was.
Now you could just tell him if you're Mike Tomlin, hey,
don't. Right,
but
right. Run away. You know, right.
Sometimes the competitive, competitive nature takes in. You know, you just kind of find yourself going out there to try to make a play.
See, my take on what they did on Saturday with the specialists are, we knew Boswell's the kicker, but
right.
Harvin's also the punter, folks. You know, like, yeah. I don't think there's a competition here. They just have camp legs in town, you know, for now. But I also think it goes a long way behind the scenes doing what they did. And explain that for a second here.
Go ahead.
Is it makes it more attractive to bring in other camp legs when you tell those two young men, you're going to kick every one of these games, and you're going to actually have tape for the rest of the league to watch. You know, like, whoever's looking for kickers and punters aren't watching the Steelers practice tape. They don't have much to go off of, and that might be the CFL or the XFL or whatever league out there. So, hey, thanks for coming to camp. We knew you weren't going to beat out Boswell no matter what.
Yeah, you knew that when you signed him.
You knew that when you signed.
But we made you a promise that we're going to get you some game tape.
And you've been a trooper, and we'll help you the best we can. And anyone that calls will give you a positive recommendation. And if by chance disaster strikes, you'll be our first call, and we'll bring you right back in. Thanks for the time, and that helps you with the next guy and that guy's agent with other positions. And to me, it's a classy and gentleman thing to do, to give those guys at least a game to show the world that they're, you know, they belong.
That's what I think of when I think of Danny Smith, classy and a gentleman.
I was thinking the organization as a whole, but
those two words describe Danny Smith as well. So I think that's, you know, that's why people were wondering about that, you know, why they did that. That's mm-hmm. why. You're taking care of a couple of guys that – because you probably let Boswell and Harvin kick this week, and then next week you just say, you know what, we don't need to see that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need to get those guys hurt.
Because part of me thought, well, you could get rid of those two guys as one of your five cuts, but I would rather cut a safety and tell your safety coach you don't have to coach him anymore.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's great having you here, but the linebacker that has no chance to make the team.
Or the offensive line coach who's got 17
right.
guys.
The guys that have a lot on their plate. And these young guys are trying to do everything they can to impress. But it makes the team efficiency easier if he's not here. You know, like, go beat it so I can spend 10 minutes more a day on the starters or whatever. You know what I mean? So that would make more sense, I guess, than ditching the kickers at this point.
It's going to be I mean, there's cutting this roster, I got to go through this and do this sometime this week.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be easy.
No, not at all.
I
Maybe
mean,
we'll do that on the air
get
at
into
some
this,
point.
Yeah, sometimes right. you get into this whole thing and you start looking and like,
then
okay,
you have a final 58.
Yeah, worse yet, you have a final 45.
Right. Right
that's
right.
a bad thing.
See, I don't think that's the case here.
No,
at this
I don't
point.
Think so either.
I mean, I think we could maybe make the case. I don't know what to think about the O-line, but are I mean, I know the Legloos of the world are going to make it, and I thought he played pretty well. But are they keeping O-linemen that shouldn't be around? I don't know any other position where I would think that's even a possibility.
No, I don't know either.
Maybe an edge guy. I mean, if the two starters from Saturday's game were both on this team, that wouldn't make me super excited.
Right.
I mean, and plus with the huge practice squads, you could keep a guy like, you know, 50 or whomever, too. I don't think anybody's grabbing him.
Yeah.
This has been a popular drill, too. This is just a beat a dummy to one side, beat him to the other with rip moves, tackle the guy in the middle.
That's going to be me beating you in our fantasy football league this year, beating the dummy.
It's funny you think that. That's luring you into my trap. You're going to regret the day you made that invitation. I can promise you that.
We'll have fun with that all year long, though.
I bet we'll have fun with it tonight after a few beverages, too.
What we need to do is, like, we're going to do our – Matt and I are going to be in the same fantasy football league this year for the first time.
First time ever, competing head-to-head.
What we need to do is go somewhere when we're doing our draft – and we're going to do the draft online because we got guys in various different places.
I haven't spoke up about that, but I'm
not a fan of it. But
well, I'm not either. However, that sounds like it's taking place in the morning during Labor Day weekend.
Uh-oh.
That's not my strong suit terms of drafting time.
Well,
we might have to talk
about that.
We're going to have to talk about that. That gives you guys a much better chance of winning the league if I'm picking any time before 1 p.m. on Labor Day weekend.
I was going to say maybe we'd have to get together for a adult beverage or two while we do our draft.
That'd be fine with me. Wednesday night, Thursday night, whatever. But not that weekend and anything early that weekend.
We could do it on
particularly late would really favor you guys. Look into that however you'd like, but it's a very fun weekend for me and my buds.
That was for your main league.
I think it's our 25th anniversary this year. Yeah. That's our high school league, and people come in from Minnesota and Jacksonville and from all over. We have a good time. Go to Deep Creek.
This is the 29th year.
Is it?
For the ORFBL.
Okay.
So
there you have it.
We still call it the ORFBL, Observer Reporter Fantasy Football League, but most of us are no longer like –
there can't be too many employees left.
Yeah, at this point, there's no employees left there. So a lot of the guys are former employees there. And then I invited you in, and Chris Carter's in it as well. So.
Right. I'm about to rock the
Chris
boat.
Chris Halicki. So.
Yeah, yeah. It could be fun, though.
It could be the DKPS Football League.
It could be. Right.
We're taking it over.
Or when I start winning it, I'll name it myself.
Well, I've won it like six times, and I'm the winningest team in the league history. I'm like the Dallas Cowboys that one.
Interesting.
Or the Steelers.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
For that matter.
Okay. We'll see.
We're going to have fun with this.
Yes, we are. We'll keep you all updated as the draft goes down. And
we're in the same division, too.
I don't think that was an accident, by the way.
No,
just
I know.
Hunch.
Yeah.
Right.
Just a hunch. They put us in the same division. So we'll play one to play in twice.
Good. Good. That's going to sell out. That's a
home and away.
A home and away game.
We'll play one in St. Clair and one in Washington.
Get your tickets now, yeah, because they're going quick.
Steelers still going through some special teams practices. I like this little drill here where they have a guy running with the football, and they come up and players come up behind him and try to basically – you're working on stripping the football here, poking it out.
From different angles from behind.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Just kind of I don't know how to really describe it, but they get I assume a return man, and they don't come from much distance, but they have to beat one blocker, go around them, find the football, and then once you break it out too, you got to pick it up and scoop and score too. So
yeah.
I mean, there's some practice to that. There's also some randomness to that too. Once the ball comes out, it's hard to predict,
right.
But I do think that scooping and scoring has some value.
But it's always good to
that
practice.
That was nice by Hayward, by the way.
Yeah.
Not only bash it out, but he kind of stripped it and took it to the house himself. Hayward's going to be a core special teamer, huh?
Yeah, I think so.
I had my doubts or questions. I mean, I just didn't know. But it sure looks like he's passing that test,
too. Just a football player.
So, do we know Snell's making this team?
I don't know that we do now.
I didn't love the usage if I were Justin Lane either. You know, I'm thinking of some of the core special teamers. Killebrew didn't play.
Right.
If where I'm going with this is if Hayward, potentially Boykin, absolutely Gunner, like who are the core special teamers this year? Won't be Gilbert.
Yeah.
You know, right. So that's going to change.
It's a big question. Yeah, there'll be some. I mean, Derek Watt will be there.
But who's the carryover from last year? If Lane and maybe Snell and Gilbert are not, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it could change, and that does change.
It's going to change, yeah.
From year to year. But we're going to take another break. He is Matt Williamson. I am Dale Lally. You're listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio. We are live from Steelers training camp here at St. Vincent College in beautiful Latrobe, Pennsylvania.
Nice and cool, windy.
It is cool today. I'm sure Mike Tomlin not liking this, but the offense and defensive
once the windows again, open yesterday.
Taking the field here. Looks like maybe a little first down work here. Runner pass. Or they get the sticks out there. They get third downs.
Right.
They get the sticks throwing. So this is a little third down work here. So
this
we'll
is
get
ones
to that.
Versus ones as well.
You yeah, ones
TJ
versus
out
one.
There and right.
Absolutely. So we're going to take a break. We'll be back with more right after this.
This is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24-7 home of the black and gold. SNR. Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome back. I am Dale Lally. He is Matt Williamson. We are The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio and ESPN 970. We are live from Steelers training camp here at St. Vincent College in Latrobe. The only place on your radio dial, or podcasting for that matter, where you can get live coverage of the Steelers' training camp practices here as they take place at St. Vincent College. We're almost done here, Matt.
Yeah, wrapping up. Good pace today, too.
Yeah. Not necessarily done for today's show, but done in at St. Vincent College.
Oh, I thought you meant for today's practice.
We've been out here almost a month.
Yeah, been
the
majority of the month.
A little over
right.
3 weeks here by the time we're done, 3 weeks and a couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
But, boy. It's been a
time flies.
Yeah. Love it when we're out here.
Getting
and then
a lot of good work done.
By the time it's over, I'm pretty much ready to go back home and stay.
Yeah, I get the same feeling. Like, looked forward to it for years in this case.
Yes.
Not a year, years. And certainly have made it worth our time. We've had a lot of good times, and it's a great way to watch a lot of football and be close to the team. And then when you get to sneak home on the weekend, it's like, my bed's kind of nice, and I like my lazy boy, and, you know, I know where everything's
couch.
Out. And, right. You know, clean clothes and, you know, things like that.
I don't have to hang out with Lolly.
Right. I've seen a lot of that guy. And still keeps texting me. But we have a couple more evenings here and full days that I am absolutely looking forward to it, and then I'll be very happy, as the players will be, to retire to my humble abode for the rest of the season, I would imagine.
Yeah, Steelers still doing a little third down work here. Mason Rudolph rolls to his left and gets the ball out.
Got it out there, yeah.
Got it on time.
Wasn't super pretty, but
for a first round to
I know no one cares about our
– that was – they still list Javon McKinley on this roster that I have here, and that's not Javon McKinley.
No, anymore. I'm not sure who that is.
People were – this is the roster that I got from the Steelers media room today.
Oh, is it?
Today.
Oh, okay.
And it still has Javon McKinley on. Like, update your stuff, guys.
Okay. Maybe tomorrow we'll know who that is. I know no one cares about our plights, and I wouldn't trade jobs for anybody, but I don't know if you find the same way, but time management in Latrobe is harder for me than it is at home.
Yeah, look who's kind of standing up here, Matt. Is that 98 standing up on the end down here? Or is that the new guy?
That's 96.
That must be the new linebacker
guy
that they signed.
Which makes me think that they're not thrilled with their edge guys either. You know,
well, yeah. Tuzar Skipper was released today. Actually, injury settlement released there. And they
signed. Everyone was excited about him when they signed him.
James Vaughters was signed to replace him. 96 has to be James Vaughters.
I would imagine that, too. A nice little get-off there, but I don't know much about him other than that. I think this drill's kind of interesting in that you're spreading it out against a lot of defensive backs. You know, like early on we saw Najee and Claypool in the slot with two wide receivers, you know, outside of those guys flanking them. A lot of spread formations here. You made note, you know, the Steelers were in dime for a high percentage of these two. I'm intrigued with the dime situation. If I'm right that the second inside linebacker is a problem spot, weakness, not strength, however you want to say it.
Not as good as the sixth defensive back.
Yeah.
How about
that? Right. there's two things I would look at, and that's dime, of course, which is, think of it as a four, jack, six, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, but I also think you could live with a five-man front, jack, and five, you know. So there's ways, I mean, they have a lot of depth on the D-line, the big people, the 290 pluses, and they have a lot of depth in the back end. So you could still be pretty heavy with your oaky front, you know, a three-man defensive line, two edges, and a one linebacker, and protect him pretty well. Maybe Edmonds floats around the box a little more, and five defensive backs, or a four-man front, jack, and six defensive backs. So I think they're equipped to do other things to make up for the potential deficiencies on the second level.
Yeah, now we're working.
But Jack looks really good.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, I don't mean to overlook that.
Got some first down work going on here. I make note that Akella Weatherspoon is out there today.
Good, good.
After dinging the shoulder up a little bit the other day. So it's ones against ones, first and 10.
Watching Spoon, when that happened, I was like, ooh, I wonder if that was a collarbone or something, yeah. But it was not.
So Robert Spillane out there in this situation next to Miles Jack.
Wonder if they throw at him.
Yeah, they're throwing it right over his head. Sucked him in and threw it over his head. The ball was incomplete there.
To Deontay.
Yeah.
It was slightly off. Wasn't the best thrown ball.
But that's exactly what they
did. That's exactly what they did.
Yeah.
So you got ones versus ones. Your edge guys are?
Tuska and Watt.
Tuska and Watt, okay.
Yeah. Looks like
what's Highsmith's story that you know of?
He had a rib injury late last week, so that's why he is not out there. But no reason to
rush it.
No.
I don't know. I'd play him against Jacksonville either. But
right.
They need him to be solid, though.
Yeah, right. Do need to still figure out this whole backup edge thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so getting those guys some work here is not the worst thing in the world.
Mm-mm. That's a nice cutback by Najee. He just
yeah.
As good as the other backs look, he looks a lot different. He's just so big and physical and decisive and, you know.
Yeah. And a nice holder on the left side, too.
It was.
Yeah.
That was well done. They kind of caved in that line
like
a little bit.
He didn't have to cut back till he was 3 yards downfield. Mm-hmm. Like, you know,
right.
At that point,
he's
already
smooth
got positive yardage. Yeah. So, still got the ones in there. Najee taking that all the way down as running backs. You know, fans used to go crazy about that. He'd run all the way down.
Hey, a 90-yard run. Right.
No, that's not a 90-yard run. That's what they tell the running backs to do. Take it all the way to the house. Get your cardio in.
Yeah.
You know. So we got Trubisky in the shotgun here.
We're seeing a lot of Claypool in the slot,
which we expected. Okay. Now that was
a little awkward.
Yeah, yeah.
Because Claypool from the slot.
I don't think he did exactly what he was
supposed to do.
Because
they're chatting about it now. Like, I think Trubisky's telling him he screwed that up.
I think he's supposed to come across like a jet sweep formation, and he kind of.
He motioned into the play,
right.
Which just kind of interfered with the handoff. Someone screwed up there. I assume it was Claypool because Trubisky's coaching him
talking
up on that.
Talking to him,
yeah.
I mean, he missed some time.
No,
you know,
I get
timing
it.
On that
right.
Stuff's going to be a little off.
Get it out of your system here.
Yeah. But, yeah, still, I guess Kendrick Green had some kind of hand issue there. They've taped him up, and he is back out. Oh, no, Kevin Dotson's out there now. But Green has been back out there.
I think that should remain a competition after watching that game. I thought Green was running away with it. Maybe I'm overreacting, and I'll change my tune after watching the coach's tape.
I didn't think he played badly.
His length worried me in protection a little bit. But he does move and run a lot better than Dotson, who I was just focusing on in that play. He set up real nice in protection on a screen, runs out to hit a linebacker, and he ran well. He was aggressive. I'm talking about Dotson. And he kind of fell on his face.
Yeah.
You know, he's trying to hit a little guy that's real active and juked him a little. He got out in over his skis and it ended up on the ground, you know, and it's not what you want either.
No, that's
Green
not
wouldn't ended up on the ground there.
Right, right.
You know, right.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's just the difference between the two. You're
mm-hmm.
you're going to get the better size.
Right.
Green back in there now, so.
Yeah, I'm not picking on Green, but my concern with him is I saw a little bit in the Seattle game was just – guys getting in protection, guys getting their hands with their long arms on him before he was getting their hands on them. And Dotson's bigger, longer, you know. I mean, and Dotson's a pretty good protector.
Yeah.
But he's not as good in space or running or, you know, getting downfield.
And he's, you know, missing that much time. Now we get
can't help him.
Now
right.
We've got the twos in there and Green is in there again. So, I mean, I guess they're, you know, they're leaving that all open there. And you want to put your best guy out there.
Yeah.
And, you know, Dotson missed a lot of time.
he's missed a lot of time since he's been a Steeler.
That's been part of the problem.
Right, right. I mean, I'm sure behind the scenes they're like, sure, we like him, but I need a...
Can we trust him? The best ability is available.
I mean, especially guard. I mean, guard's not a flashy spot. I need a guy that's going to go out there with one arm, you know, one leg, whatever, and just get the job done. You know, I just need to... I'm not implying the guy's not tough or anything, but go out there snap after snap and play 17 games, and if you're not at your best, gut through it and go be a guard and get paid, you know?
Well, I know. Talking to him earlier in this camp, you know, first of all, they weren't super pleased that he missed the last seven regular season games in the playoff game.
Sure.
With a high ankle sprain. You know, they tried to get him back. If I'm trying to remember correctly here, there was about 5 or 6 weeks into that thing. You know, you started seeing him try to do some stuff, and then they shut him back down again. And he one of the things he talked about early in camp here was
it's a nice throw there.
Yeah, Pickett. Kenny. Pickett rolling to his right. One of the things he talked about, he being Dotson, was that he didn't necessarily understand rehabbing. Mm. Like his idea of rehabbing was going home and laying in bed. That's not, I guarantee you, that's not the Steelers doctor's idea of rehabbing.
I'm sure it's not.
Yeah.
And this is more my college experience and many moons ago, but there's nothing teams, doctors, coaching staffs hate more than taking your rehab lightly. Or, you know, I mean, that was the most punishable of offenses is not showing up to rehab because it's selfish. You know, you're hurting the team. And maybe he just didn't understand. You know, I mean, I get that. You know, maybe his college or whatever wasn't stressing it the same way they do here.
Or maybe he's just never hurt.
Or never hurt, never had to deal with it. Or, you know, everyone deals with injuries different. Or, you know, but treatment's unbelievably important to the staff. And if you go against that in any way, you very quickly end up in the doghouse.
Yeah, and one thing that did also stood out to me, Matt, in that game against the Seahawks, the second team line wasn't bad.
I didn't think so either. I thought LeGlue was a quality player. Hague was pretty good.
He's a much better game player than he is in practice.
Yeah, he's not.
And that just happens with some guys.
I remember saying with Hague, if on game day he's my seventh guy in the lineup, I'm pretty comfortable with it. If he's my sixth, I don't like it. But every time he gets in as the sixth, he does fine.
Yeah.
You know, and that's gold in this league. I'd love to see them find another tackle or, you know, a third-round project to be here as well. That guy doesn't exist at this point. I can live with Joe Hague at tackle, though. I can live with him at guard. I mean, I think he's valuable.
Yeah, he's just a valuable swing guy.
Right.
You know,
being around the block. I mean, he's a lot better than Scott and Green and those guys to me.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. That's one thing to keep an eye on here as this continues to develop here. I thought the second team line gave them a pretty good chance to work the offense.
That's another nice throw.
Yeah.
Mason.
Let him well there on that one.
He did.
Yeah. Turned out. That's the thing that you often see, like, if you're able to lead the guy so the run after the catch.
It's huge.
Yeah.
It's going to be very important in this, too.
Lay it out there. There's no safety help there. Just lay it out there and let him run after the catch.
I mean, that's so huge in today's NFL, and a lot of it stems from the Shanahan stuff. But a lot of that is play action, boom, hit a guy in stride, make a play after, you know, if you can suck those linebackers in just a step. A lot of that's designed from the pre-snap stuff, too, or, you know, directly post-snap with the play action. And I really think that's a picket strength, is accuracy, hitting guys on the move in stride. That was Rudolph with that one. It was a nice throw. Another decent throw to the outside.
Yeah, hitting the
quarterback's played well.
Hitting the receiver right as soon as he comes out of his break.
Yeah.
That's trusting the receiver to.
It's night and day, Dale, than when we got here.
Yeah.
The quarterback throwing. I mean, just the throws they're making. They're not Mahomes, Josh Allen throws.
No.
I mean, Herbert, I mean, Ben in his prime. But the ball's coming out so much better and so much more accurate, and knowing your receivers and understanding the speed and tempo you're playing with. And, you know, I was really impressed with Pickett, particularly in the game. The thing I've been most critical of him is he holds the ball too long in practice, and you'll hear Tomlin yelling at him.
Yeah.
in the game, that wasn't the case. I mean, today it's not the case. I think that these guys have come a long way in just understanding the speed of the game.
Yeah, I agree. So it looked pretty good there.
Yeah.
We're going to take another break. He is Matt Williamson. I am Dale Lally. You're listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio and ESPN 970. We are live from Steelers training camp. The Steelers are starting to do a little more special teams drill here. They'll have two periods in after this. So we got a little bit more of practice to go here. We'll be back to cover more of that when we return right after these messages.
This is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24-7 home of the black and gold. SNR. Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Dale Lally here with Matt Williamson. We are live from Steelers training camp practice here at St. Vincent College. And Matt, decent crowd here today for a kind of a chilly August day.
It is. We got a little bit of a wind. You know, I mean, it is a little chilly. It feels like we could have some rain or a thunderstorm that was reported earlier. Who the heck knows? But a lot of enthusiasm around this team with the fan base and new quarterbacks and just a different feel. And I think we really saw that Saturday, and we're seeing it here today.
Yeah, I wonder if the perception of the Steelers offense changed at all.
I think it did.
Nationally from after seeing that one.
I don't know about nationally, but I think locally it did.
I think locally it did for sure, yeah.
Yeah.
I understand. It's one preseason game. Doesn't mean all that much.
No, right. We shouldn't overreact to it.
That's why they play them.
Right. I mean, you still look at each one of those individual performances and the performance as a whole, and there was a lot of positive. And I think a lot of people, I don't know if it's true, but I think a lot of people expected that game to be a disaster. Can't block anybody. These quarterbacks are in over their head. Yeah. You know, none of the stars are playing. It's not going to go well. Well, everything went pretty well.
Yeah, to our the point about, I mean, Steelers ran for 185 yards in that game.
Yeah.
I mean.
Right, and it wasn't all junk time or whatever. You know, there were a lot of big chunk runs. As you often say, the quarterback's contributing a few yards here and there goes a long way over the course of a game or the course of a season in terms of, you know, running numbers. I think we'll get that time and time again. I like their backs. I mean, McFarland to me and
Jalen Warren.
I keep forgetting his name today.
We've only been talking about him for 3 weeks.
I know. We've talked him to death. And for some reason, I can't remember his name today. Mixed in there are quality players. And, again, I think Snell might need to be a little worried.
Yeah, I would be if I was him as well. He's not practicing today. If I were Benny Snell, I'd be like, okay, I got to get back out on the field. I understand the difference between being, if you're hurt, you're hurt. If you're injured, you're injured. I get that. Also, saw Mateo Durant work his way back in there. I was kind of surprised because he didn't practice all last week after Monday, after getting his bell run. We saw him out there. They were a little short at the running back position because, obviously.
Teague's getting a shot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was good to see. Again, they were short at the wide receiver position as well because of the injuries there. And we saw some guys. You mentioned early in the show, Gunnar Olszewski showing up. Tyler Vaughns with the touchdown catch.
Yeah,
These are guys that, this is a deep position here. I thought Miles Boykin had a nice catch there on the one where he kind of used his big frame to box out it was basically a quick slant or a little button hook there, and he used his body to frame out the defensive back. So they've got some guys there that can make these tough positions to cut.
I mean, you can make the argument that they didn't have their top two tight ends, top two running backs, top two wide receivers, as well as Austin and Miller, who are, I don't know, their fourth and fifth receiver.
Right.
Something like that. And I didn't think at any of those positions they looked thin.
No, not at all.
Which is kind of remarkable,
It
where
really is.
Outside linebacker was thin.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know, so, I mean, most spots would be thin whenever you're that lean in terms of top two being out at a tight end or top four of your top six at receiver, top two at running back. The guys they trotted out there were good players.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that they, were NFL-type players. Yeah, I mean, this is going to be a difficult team to cut. As I mentioned, I'll probably give it a shot later this week.
I don't envy you. That's going to be a little bit difficult.
And it's not going to be as easy as it is in some other years. That's for sure.
I don't want to overreact to just one game because I didn't have these thoughts 3 or 4 days ago. If I'm putting together a final roster right now, I don't know that Snell and Spillane and both those edge guys are on it. You know, like some people I thought were pretty safe, I feel less comfortable about now.
Yeah, yeah, and we'll see. I mean, I think, you know, again, this weekend's game, Saturday in Jacksonville, will go a long way towards that as well.
Sure.
What'd you see out of guys like Buddy Johnson and Mark Robinson?
I thought Robinson really struggled early, and he made a big play that kind of saved his day. That didn't worry me much. My thoughts on Robinson are this, is I would need to isolate him more. Johnson, I mean, not, I think I said Robinson. Buddy is who I'm talking about now. Is when I previewed the game, I said something along the lines of, I want Buddy Johnson to be the preseason defensive player of the game, and the defensive player of the whole preseason. He needs to lead the team in tackles. He needs to be on the field extensively every second half. He needs to look like a professional player playing against accountants. I haven't seen that.
Haven't seen that.
Yeah,
but again, it was one game.
I don't know how many snaps he played and it was all said and done either. I'd have to look into that. But I wanted to see him showing up like Gilbert used to in the preseason. You know, like making plays and, you know, being the best athlete out there in a way. And I can't say we've seen that. For someone that's been on this team as long as he has, I feel like I don't know any more about him than when he got drafted out of A&M.
Yeah.
Very little compared to everyone else that's been here, you know.
Yeah, that's fair. We get some one-on-ones.
Good or bad, you know.
Got some one-on-ones going on between the offensive line and the defensive line on the other field over there. Mm-hmm. On this side, we got seven-on-sevens. So we're starting to – this will be the second to the last, the penultimate period here.
Back to Buddy real quick.
Yeah.
And I guess Robinson to a lesser degree, but he's been here a year less, and he's a lesser draft pick. I feel like considering – and I'm not picking on Bush necessarily, but there's opportunity for a player like that to step up. And if they don't, in terms of usage, general conversation around the team, people we talk to, especially you, Tomlin mentioning it, that would worry me a little bit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We know how this works. If there's an opportunity, someone should step up and take it. If nobody is, well, there's a reason for that too.
Yeah, and same thing, you know, with the Devin Bush, Robert Spillane thing. I'll be honest, you know, when people have asked me about Bush out here, I haven't noticed him.
I'm the same way. I don't have a great answer. Like, oh, he's been great, or he has no clue what he's doing, or he can't move.
We haven't seen the splash plays at all from him.
No.
I can live with him maybe not being the best run defender if he makes some splash plays here and there for me.
Yeah, yeah. You know, or even not being the most consistent player top to bottom. But if he makes two plays a game, they looks like Devin White and flies a row all over the field.
Because that's really what Devin White does.
Right, right.
He's not a consistent big impact player,
that, whoa, look at him get from sideline to sideline on that one. That's rare. Great. Okay, that's something. But if it's kind of second-level players should show up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's almost like saying a running back doesn't really show up. Well, they should show up all the time. You know, their defense designed for them to make plays. Again, it's early, but that's the – of the defenders that are going to play a lot of snaps, you know, injuries aside, the second inside linebacker spot to me is my biggest worry right now.
Yeah. No,
I agree. The top, you know, 13 guys that are going to play.
But these are the kind of questions I get. Would we cut Bush? He's downright awful.
No.
That's not going to happen.
Like cutting Rudolph.
And
like, that's
better,
not the
he's
answer.
He's better than Spillane. Like, I don't get this, you know, they should start Spillane. Why? Because he's not Devin Bush?
That's the logic, right.
The logic, and that's no logic.
That's no logic. That's no way to build your team. If you could acquire somebody else, if Bush that's different, and Bush becomes your three,
that's a different conversation.
Or if he's part of a trade or something like that, I mean, I'm not implying any of those things, but if somehow you got Roquan Smith, well, then I don't care about Bush anymore. But until somebody better comes along, he's going to be on the field or at a minimum on the team. Buddy Johnson's not better than him, you know. He's got beat by Freiermuth there in a tough play. Again, it's a two-way go in the middle of the field. And it was a nice route by Freiermuth, a very good player. But
yeah, got into him and then, you know, cut off of
That was Pickett, I assume. I assume he threw that one. Led Freiermuth away from Bush, you know. But that's also a 12-yard gain by a tight end against Bush, you know.
Yeah.
No one said his job's easy.
And now we've got Buddy Johnson and Spillane in there. And
let's see Buddy do something here.
Yeah, let's see what Buddy and Spillane do. Or does the offense go right after Spillane again? They did not on that one. He was looking to the flat the entire time.
I'd almost
That's the one thing that, you know, look, I get it. Pickett played, he played fine on Saturday night.
We're all happy with how he played, right?
Didn't make any mistakes. He didn't really try anything real difficult, though, either.
No.
It was there was a lot of – I mean, if you take away the catch and run at the end of it, and even if you count that in there, he averaged like 5.9 yards of completion.
Mm-hmm.
He's getting the ball out.
He was 10 of his first 10. That's great no matter what. They weren't Elway throws.
They weren't high, yeah, they weren't high leverage throws or anything of the nature. They were.
But I'm perfectly fine with that in his first shot. That
he did make the big mistake, yeah.
Again, but they were on time and they were accurate.
Yeah.
You know, that's great. It's a fabulous jumping off point. That's the kind of quarterback he was that made him a first-round pick. You know, I don't expect him to make Favre throws. You know, I mean, that's okay. Efficiency is tremendous. And that's easier said than done. But if you isolate each one of those 10 first completions, they're ones that NFL quarterbacks make.
You should make. Yeah.
Right. I mean, it'd have been more of a red flag if you would have missed them. You know?
But still, putting
10 together is great.
Right, absolutely. And again, I'm not downplaying it. I'm just saying it wasn't the greatest debut in the history of quarterbacking.
right.
Some seem to like be blowing it up as.
It wasn't throw after throw like the one Rudolph made the Pickens in the corner of the end zone.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? And those are rare, you know. So we'll see. Yeah, it was a good start.
It was a good start. We'll see where it goes this weekend. He is Matt Williamson. I am Dale Lally. You're listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio and ESPN 970. We are live from Steelers training camp here in Latrobe at St. Vincent College. We'll be back with more right after this.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
You ever get that feeling like the concrete jungle's closing in? You crave wide open spaces, the chance to chase your own dinner, or just breathe clean air. Well, listen up. There's a whole world out there waiting, and finding your piece of it just got easier. Head over to land.com. They've got ranches, forests, mountains, you name it. Search by acreage, price, location. They've got it all. No matter what kind of wild dream you're chasing, land.com can help you find the ground to make it a reality. So quit dreaming. Head over to land.com, find your open space, and get out there.